My title is this: The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. It comes from a story in the book of 2 Chronicles that I want to read to you, and then we're going to talk about it and talk about the principles that we can derive from it that speak to us about how we should approach this a moment in human history. It begins in chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a fully loyal heart. It happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him, he executed his servants who had murdered his father. So he's bringing justice. However, he didn't execute their children and didn't do what was written in the book of Moses, where if the Lord commanded, your fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers. It's a great principle that God doesn't allow generational curses to keep living on that can be suspended, stopped, overcome. And verse 5 says, Amaziah gathered you together and set them over captains of thousands and hundreds according to their father's houses throughout all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them to be 300,000 choice men, those who could go to war, could handle a spear and a shield. So he's now building an army. He is now prepared to defend Israel. He's got a good heart. He's called by God himself a good and a godly king. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. We think that's 100,000 talents of silver, a king's ransom. So he's built a great army, and then the kingdom of Israel had two parts, the northern and southern part. So he hires from Israel 100,000 mercenaries to come and join his army in order to combat his enemies. But here comes the prophet, here comes the man of God, a man of God saying to him, King, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord's not with Israel, nor with the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle, even so God shall make you fall before your enemy. For God has power to help overthrow, to help and to overthrow. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what will we do with the 100,000 talents which I've given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God said, so the king now is calculating how much he's spent in hiring this great mercenary army to come help him. And the prophetic word was, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So just think about that. To obey God, he had to literally waste a fortune. And he's calculating in his mind, man, this is a tough thing to do. And as he's weighing the profits and the losses, the benefits, the costs and of obedience, the prophet inserts this principle that is so powerful. As we evaluate our losses, the calling of all the negative things happening now in contrast to the positive things, and you might feel like your column is weighted now in a negative way. The prophet said, here's how God thinks. Here's how the kingdom views things. Here's what's able to happen. Your God is able to give you much more than this. So he literally said, whatever this costs you, God can make up for you. Just keep obeying God, keep serving God, keep doing what is right, and God will take care of the fight. God will take care of the need, and God will make up for what it costs you. This principle is so powerful because it allows us to reinterpret life's difficult moments with not just the factual realities, the facts and the circumstances and the understanding of what's happened, how much we've loss or how much income we've lost or how much opportunity we've lost. Those things can weigh very heavily in our hearts. But the kingdom of God inserts this principle and says this: whatever you've lost, God is able to give you back much more than that. And I just declare over you in this season, whatever you've lost, Whatever's happened in your family, your finance, your life, your vision, your future, whatever days, weeks, months, income, opportunities, ministry, health, whatever the enemy has stolen from you, whatever life has emptied out from your accounts, your loving God is able to give you much more than this. The principle is so powerful, it makes us fearless in the day of loss. That when subtraction comes into our life and things are taken from us, instead of mourning those things as irreversibly gone, we can celebrate God's goodness, knowing God's going to find a way to replenish our lives with those very things and maybe even better things. That's God's principle too. I want to talk just a couple points today in this message. Number one, bad things happen in this world, even to good and godly people, because of the fall of man and the activity of the enemy. So it's so important because the church has a tendency to want to spread and create a theology about God being responsible for everything, but God isn't responsible for everything. He doesn't make people sick. He doesn't spread diseases. He doesn't have any pandemics in his storehouse to throw across the earth. He didn't kill your child early, or your mom and dad, or he didn't cause divorce or heartache or abuse or violence or wars. Those things aren't from God. James says it like this: do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. There's not even a hint of ill intent in God. Come on, you have to win this battle in your mind, because people will never resist what they think they're called to receive. If they think God has sent it, they'll never send it back. But the prophet said to the king, God can give you back what life's taken from you. That's who God is. He's a good God. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 about understanding our lives and the experiences and encounters we have. Lest Satan should have an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. I like to read that like this: we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he gain advantage over us. Part of the ignorance of Satan's devices, think that this example may offend some religious people. I apologize in advance. So the poor devil, he can't get credit for anything anymore. The world ignores his existence, denies his reality, and the church keeps blaming God for everything Satan does. Sometimes I think that's the problem. We put at the feet of Jesus things that should be put at the feet of Satan. Jesus said it like this: the thief, describing the nature, the character, the behavior of the enemy in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. That's God's promise to you. It's his promise to me. In Matthew chapter 7, Christ was talking about the importance of the word of God. And he said there's two kinds of houses. And he likened houses to hearts and lives. And he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'll be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Here's what Christ said: storms come to everybody. The ones that overcome it are the ones that have built their lives on the word of God, on their relationship with Jesus. Those people survive storms. Why? Because we live and are grounded by the rock. We built our lives on the rock of Christ. That's God's promise to you as a believer. You can and you will overcome this in Christ's mighty name. Jesus said in John 16, talking about the nature of the world, he said, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace to you, my friend. Peace to your home. Peace to your heart. Peace as you sleep tonight. Peace as you wake tomorrow. Peace all through your day. The peace of God guarding and keeping your hearts. That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word tribulation is thiplos in the Greek. It means pressure, stress, to squeeze something. The whole world's under great pressure now. Jesus said that would happen. That's a normal cycle in this world. But Jesus said, be happy. Rejoice in me. I overcame the world for you. You know why I'm a conqueror? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus because he conquered for me. He conquered for me. I'm not fighting to win a victory. I'm fighting because he gave me the victory. He won it for me. It's so important we get that, that we understand that, that we live with that. If it's not good, it's not God. No matter who's saying it, this global pandemic is not God's judgment against the world. People with defeated spirits or angry hearts crave God's judgment in order on others, in order to feel vindicated for their own defeat. But that's all a lie. The devil's a liar, and we're not going to blame God for what he's done. We're not going to put at the feet of Jesus the things God's assigned and defined have come from hell. My second point is simple. Your loving God, come on, he loves you. Your loving God is able to abundantly restore to your life anything that the enemy or this world has ever stolen from you. The prophet said, the Lord can give you more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The king was calculating a huge amount of money that he would lose. But the Lord said, take that out of your calculus. Because when you obey me, I'm going to take care of you. My will is my bill. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to restore it. I will find a way to make it good for you. That's God's great promise to us as believers, that we can be fearless. One of my favorite scriptures that we have experienced as a family, the Maiden family in our church, we have a miracle church here in Phoenix that God raised up from ashes, just like the name of this town. And it's from Joel 2:25, and God said this to us, I will restore the years to you. Everything that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, everything that has been stolen, I'm going to give back to you. God's promise to you is this, I am able to do much more than this. Don't allow the enemy to make you permanently, perpetually discouraged, feeling exhausted and wearied, that suddenly supplies have been diminished and bank accounts are empty and opportunities seem somehow hidden. God can change everything in 5 seconds. And he is with you, and he's a provider, and he's able to do much more than this. That's his promise to you, my precious friend. There's a great verse in Proverbs chapter 6, and I, over the years of ministry, I love to talk about this, because I'm not just talking about theology and hopeful doctrines. I'm talking about things in the kingdom of God that have worked in my life, that have built this church, that have allowed me to have a comeback. In Proverbs 6, it says this, if a thief be found, Jesus said the devil was what? The thief. If a thief is found, he must restore sevenfold. He must restore sevenfold. When the thief is caught, and I pray today that a righteous anger rises up in your heart against the enemy, what he's trying to do, if he's taking things from your life. I pray for a great faith, a restoring faith that says, you know what? My God can give me back what this season has taken. That my God can restore the years. And then graduating and growing to this place where we make a demand. Devil, I command you to pay me back 7 times for everything, every penny, every moment, everything you have stolen from my life, my family, my ministry, my business. And watch what God does. It, you know how I know it works? Because I lived it. I've watched God do it. He is a restorer, and he can give you everything back what the enemy has taken from your life. There's another great story in the book of 2 Kings, and It's about the Shunammite woman, and the prophet had told her a famine was coming, and so to leave town. Here's what it says in 2 Kings 8. Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household. Stay wherever you can, for the Lord's called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come on the land for 7 years. The woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. So while she is gone, someone had dispossessed her land. She was a person of consequence, and then her farm, her income. So she lost everything. God gave her a protective word. She operated that word. Actually, the famine was shortened by the mercy of God. But she comes back, and suddenly she has no authority. And apparently her husband now is not in the scene. So she's standing there in this long line in the courtyard of the king, in the courtroom of the king, waiting for a chance to make an appeal. And the king in that moment decided to talk with Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, saying, "Tell me some of the great stories of things Elijah has done." And it happened as Gehazi was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life. There was the woman whose son he had restored to life, ready to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "Oh, my lord, king, this is the woman right here. This is her son whom Elijah restored to life." So you talk about a divine appointment. He's telling the story, and she's right there. I just want to say this to you. God is putting your life, your name, and your story in the mind and mouth of people because God knows how to help you. And God knows how to take you from the back of the line and put you to the front of the line. And so the king asked the woman, she told him, "Are you the woman?" She said, "Yes." And the king appointed a certain officer, saying to the officer, "Restore everything that was ever hers, and all the proceeds of the fields of her farm from the day that she left until now." Not only did she get her house back, her business back, her farm back, but she got all 7 years of lost income back. Think about that with me. She didn't just get back what she lost. She got back what it would have gained if she hadn't lost it. Whew. That is something. God doesn't just restore us to where we were. He restores us to where we would have been if loss hadn't come. You have to believe that. I'm preaching in a building, a magnificent property, 165,000 square feet of buildings, right in the central part of Phoenix, Central Avenue in Bethany Home. I'm preaching in a property that was given to us for free, debt-free. It's worth tens of millions of dollars, and God gave it to us. We lost 25 years ago a building, and God gave us 10 years ago a miracle property for free. My favorite word in the English language. And man, I'm wondering what kind of miracles are in store in this next season for you. Yeah, Mary and I lost some things. We lost a house. God gave us a house. We lost a church. God gave us a church. But everything we lost, when we got our minds right, when we got our hearts right, when we allowed faith to reemerge in our souls, when we started dreaming again, we started seeing God restore everything the enemy had ever taken. I want this to get deep down into you so that you are completely fearless as you approach this season, because God is able to give you much more than this, my dear friend, much more than this. Just like the king, I declare over you in Christ's name, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare everything that's lost is being restored. Everything that the enemy took, everything that life took, everything that this pandemic has taken, every moment, every amount of money, every peace and joy, whatever's missing from your heart, your life, your family, your story, God's able to give you back. Restore all that is yours. Restore all that is yours. God, do it, I pray in Jesus' name, that those that are watching, that are wondering about their future, maybe feeling the devastation of some things that aren't, that aren't right, some things that have gone wrong, some things that they have no power over. But God, you're able to do much more than this. God, I pray in this next season that you do so many outrageous miracles, that there's so many joyous testimonies that you make up and wait and tip the scales by the testimonies of miracles. So we're going to stop talking about what we've lost and start talking about how God's restored it all. One of my favorite biblical figures is Job. And as a young preacher, I never preached about Job. But when I went through the story of Job and had to live it, I became acquainted with it. And Job was a godly man. Job pleased God. Job had done nothing wrong. The enemy assaulted him. He lost everything. Job never blamed God. He never gave up on God. He never lost his integrity. And a day came when everything changed. We think the entirety of the storm and trauma of Job's life was only 18 months. And the Bible says this in Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses. The King James says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I like to be his friends. There's four men in the book of Job besides Job. And three of the men were older counselors, father figures, and friends, and had known him for years. And they really betrayed him, accused him of sin, accused him of having no faith, accused him of doing something wrong. And God judged them for their judgmental attitude toward Job. But Job also had to pray for him, but forgive him. One of the ways we escape losses is by forgiving people that maybe took advantage of us in those seasons. Yes, that's what the Lord said to me years ago when he healed my heart, be 28 years ago now. And he said, Michael, if you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I will make you forget the pain they've caused you. We forgive our way out of the pain of our past. And that qualifies us for God to restore into our future what we've lost. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your story. Stop calculating how much you've lost and start demanding the devil to pay you back. Start believing that your God is able to give you much more than this. Indeed, the Lord gave Job, the rest of that verse says, twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Wow. So in 18 months, he lost cattle and sheep, and he lost all kinds of things, even family devastation. But in the end of his life, the best chapter was written. And when they started counting sheep, wow, there's twice as much as there was. Cattle, twice as much. Everything had a measurement of twice as much. The book of Zechariah talks about that in chapter 9, verse 12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. What a great sentence, prisoners of hope. Hey, if you're going to be in prison, be in the prison of hope. Not hopelessness, not despair, not discouragement, not depression. Even today, I will declare, God says, even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Just receive that. Even today, God says, I will restore double to you. Isaiah 61 takes that same idea and says this about overcoming the weightiness and the burden. When he says this, for all your shame, I'll give you double. Instead of shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in the land, they shall possess double, and everlasting joy shall be theirs. Wow. In the land, they shall possess double. God, I thank you for a double portion anointing on your church, on everybody watching. That suddenly, God, that the hope that's protecting them, the hope that's imprisoning them in your presence and keeping them from being bound and carried away by hopelessness or despair, or depression or anxiety. Your hope protects us. And then your hope allows our hearts to dream about what could happen in the next season of our lives. God, thank you that you're able to do double. You're able to give back. You're able to do everything you promised to do. Come on. Tell the devil you want your stuff back. Tell the devil you want your family back, your health back, your finance back, your dreams back. Fear is a liar. It comes from the father of lies, the enemy. Satan is a liar, and his greatest lie is fear. You know you've conquered fear when your heart becomes hopeful again. Hope is the antidote to fear. Perfect love drives it out, but hope is the medicine, the opposite, as we expect the good things from God. You know your heart is healthy when it dreams again. That's God's will for you. That's God's next season for you. If you'll let him, he'll take what the enemy meant for evil and he'll work it for good. If you let him, he'll give you double for all your trouble. If you can just trust him, believe him, and escape the imprisoning fears and the lies of discouragement in this season, you're going to have a testimony that's going to blow people's minds. People come to this church frequently just to see the guy raised from the dead. The whole community, our whole city knew about what was happening in our lives 25 years ago. It was front page news, but God has so turned things around. People come just to see the restored God, to see the kindness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God visited upon a person. If God can restore my life, my friend, he can restore your life. So no matter what's happening in this moment, all is not lost. All hope is not lost. Your future is not lost. Your possibilities aren't lost. Your best days aren't lost. Your God's able to do much more than this, and he's able to give you back what life has tried to take from you. That's God's promise to you. The revelation of our kingdom authority as believers is the key to the restoration of everything we've ever lost. God is able to give you double for all of your trouble. But the revelation of our authority, what does that mean? That we don't have to beg God to give us what he's empowered us to claim. We have authority to pray big prayers, like the prayer that says, I want sevenfold, Satan, for everything you've taken. I want seven times back. It's simply amazing what God can do. Like the prophet said, man, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. I know, King, this is costing you something, but the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The king said to the woman who lost her farm, who lost her house, who lost 7 years of income, restore everything that was hers, including all the income she had lost. Wouldn't that be amazing if God didn't just restore your life, but gave you back with interest the income, the consequence of what you've ever lost would have created? He could do it, man. He can do it. I promise you, he can do it. He wants to do it. Live in God's rest, but don't live in spiritual passivity. Just a couple points before I close. I'm almost now done. It's kind of a big thing. And here's the big thing. That we're tempted in life to misinterpret a couple of things. Rest is the result of faith, not passivity. I'm not resting because I've given up. I'm resting because I've trusted up. I have faith in God. And his faith, my faith in him, has brought me to rest in my heart. My faith is still active. I'm still believing for great things. But I'm resting in the promises, the power, the kingdom of God, knowing God's faithfulness and trusting him. But don't be passive and say, well, what will be, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Well, that's not good theology. That's not good philosophy. That's not even healthy. You don't have to accept everything life sends at you. A couple of weeks ago, my wife got a package, and she'd ordered something, and they delivered from the store the wrong things. Well, she didn't say, oh, we're just going to take it and try to make use of it. She said, no, I'm sending it back. This isn't what I wanted. You don't have to accept things that God didn't send. If God's not sent it, you don't have to sign for it. Keep it. Send it back. Say, devil, I'm not taking this. No way. I want what God promised me. Stand and believe for your health, your healing, your finance, your breakthrough, your family, the salvation of your loved ones, the victory of God, the great awakening promised our nation, promised this world. Stand and believe God in faith in this crucial moment. The exact opposite of what so many people are thinking is happening. God is actually preparing the ground for the greatest revival in human history. And we're going to see something happen. The greatest harvest of souls. So many positive things are going to come out of this negative season. That's what God has for us as believers. I want to pray for you in closing. And just thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God that he's with you. Thank God that he's able, like the prophet said, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able. You might need to listen to this message 20 times. But you have to conquer that discouragement, conquer that negativity, conquer that fearfulness, conquer that uncertainty, conquer that hopelessness that would try to deprive you of peace and rest and joy, knowing your God, your loving God, is able to turn this around for you. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray for each one watching and listening now in Jesus' name. And I just declare, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I declare over their whole circumstance, you, God, are able to give them much more than what they've lost. For those, God, that are currently suffering under the great onslaught of things still being taken and pain still going forth, God, I speak your comfort, your peace, your healing, your grace, great grace to them, God. Father, for those that are battling fearfulness and anxiety, panic attacks or nightmares or other kinds of hopelessness that are consuming them, Father, we rebuke the devil. And we stand, God, in your promises that, my God, we know this for sure. We know, God, for sure that you're able to work all things together for the good of them that love you. God, you gave me a Job comeback. You give me twice as much as I lost. I declare a Job comeback to you, that God's going to give you double for all your trouble. Zechariah said this, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. The Lord is able to give you, even today, I restore double to you, God says. God, do it. Build such a massive wave of testimonies in the church that people all over the world, that in every city, every church, every family, someone's going to have a testimony after testimony. Look what God just did. Look what God just restored. Look what just opened up. Look how God's healed this and helped this and delivered this and stopped this and released this. Watch God move. Yeah, he's moving. He's moving in a powerful way. He's moving in a mighty way. And the Lord your God, the one who loves you, is for you, is fighting on your side, the one whose promises never fail, the one whose grace is always more than enough, that God says to you, his precious child, I am able to give you much more than this. Hey, thanks for watching today. See you soon. God bless you very much.